Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the campus grounds of Gillespie Park Elementary School. We invite you to worship, praise, fellowship, and learn of the mighty works and teachings of Christ according to the Bible that's catered to children, teens, and adults. This year's mission statement focuses on determined obedience, where we do just that and do the work as believers in Jesus Christ creatively, accordingly, with fun and an abundance of love. We promise you, visiting us is an experience that you will carry with you for life. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
Chapter 12. Might have heard this scripture before, amen. Might sound familiar. Sometimes we get some stuff and go, wow, I've never heard that before. Sometimes we get some stuff, wow, I hear that all the time. This is a familiar scripture, a common scripture that's read. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be dealing with verses 6 through 10. Amen. It says, for though I would desire to glory, and shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me of that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time, this moment, God, and this opportunity to come before you right now, God. And Lord, we ask, Father God, that you bless us here today, Father. That your word be shared in the way that you would have it to be done. And as your word is shared, Father, that our ears and our minds and our hearts will be open to hear what thus saith the Lord, Father. That a seed will be planted in fertile ground, Father, that it will flourish and do what it is you would have for it to do here in this place. Oh God, we need you. God, we love you. And Father, we can't make it without you. So bless us, let us be blessed. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can't even see it. Amen. So, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 6 through 10. Amen. If you write it down, the title of today's sermon, the title is Don't Be a Fool. If that offends you, you can write Don't Be Foolish.
Everybody follows me there. And so Paul invited this letter to Corinth, and in
this particular area, the folk are being caught up about things that they see. And Paul is like, look, I don't want you to get so caught up about the things that you see. Because Paul lets them know, look, I've done a whole lot of things. God has used me in a lot of different ways. If you really want to get out a piece of paper and write it down, you can write it down and it's going to look real impressive on paper. But at the end of the day, it's not about the things that we see on the paper. It's about what's going on in here.
Amen.
Because we can have a person can have a very impressive resume and still not know a thing.
Amen.
Don't be a fool. And so prior to the sixth verse, Paul is talking about an experience that he had. And he says he doesn't know whether that was here or there, but when he's referencing, he's speaking in a language to his audience. Remember, he said it's important to understand who actually is the messenger and who the message is actually going to. Speaking to some folk, he's speaking to them in the language, let them know, look, it's not me, but it was him. Amen. And we get down here to this sixth verse, and he says, for though I would desire to glory, he says, for though in my flesh, there's a desire to glory in the things that I've done and the things that I've been through, and I can go ahead and put this behind my name, and he can say all this, because if you look at the letters that Paul has written, the majority of letters that Paul has written, he starts them off by saying, I'm Paul the Apostle. I've hung up with this person. I've been here. I've been there. And he starts off saying these things in his different letters. But here he's saying, look, I could do that because in my flesh there is a desire to be recognized. Amen. In our flesh, there's a desire to be recognized. When we do stuff, when we go, there's a desire for someone to say, hey, good job, to have a pat on the back every now and then. There's nothing wrong with that. That's something that's just in us. But being caught up on the fact of whether I got a pat on the back or not becomes an issue. Well, Paul says, yes, there's a desire there. He says, but I shall not be a fool. I won't be foolish and try to take credit for something that I ain't have nothing to do with. I just have to be the one God chose to use. Here's an area where we get caught up. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish in thinking that what it is that God has allowed you to do was only by your strength alone. Because God can count not forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. How many times are we hearing the Bible about being humble? How many times are we hearing about the Bible that don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? And so Paul is sitting here saying, look, I don't want to get caught up over me thinking it's all about me. It's all about me. It's not all about you. It will never all be about you. We are pawns that God uses however he sees fit to use. And so just because there's a title in front of your name, just because there's some credentials behind your name, doesn't make you any better than the person that you're beside. Now the world will tell you, because you're Dr. So-and-so, that you're better than somebody else. That's a lie. That's a lie. In the body of Christ, every single one of us are important. There's not one of us that's least important than the other. Amen? He goes here and he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, unless I should be exalted because of the many things that I've done, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, this thorn that Paul talks about, now, many people, many theologians come up and they say, hey, this thorn that he had in the flesh, it was that. I ascribe to the fact that based upon the evidence of the Bible, that we know that Paul was once Saul. And Saul was had the road to Damascus experience. And as he was on the road to Damascus, he was blind. And he was given back some measure of sight. I ascribe to the fact that Paul still has some type of issue going on in his eyes. That's me. But there's different theologians that say all other kinds of stuff. But regardless of whatever it was, Paul still had an issue. Not only did he have an issue that was just an issue that he was dealing with, it was a physical ailment that other folks saw as well. Because when he's praying about it, when he's saying about it, he's talking again. You understand who the messenger is and who he's speaking to. He's speaking to it as if the other folk know about his issues as well. So it was a physical ailment that other folk could see. Amen? And so he says, I prayed about this thing that it would be removed from me. And in praying about this thing that it would be removed from me, he says here in the last part of verse 7, that I should be exalted above measure. The title is Don't Be a Fool, or Don't Be Foolish. Amen. Well, we don't want to be a fool because we just learned in the previous verse that in being a fool, what happened, how I was being a fool, that I think of myself more highly than I am. If you find yourself in a place of thinking that you're better than anyone else, you're being a fool. You're being foolish.
Yes.
You're being a fool. Amen. Paul comes here and he says, look, it's not about anything that I've done. He says, but I have some issues. Now, although Paul's issue that we can talk about here would be a physical issue, I need you to know that your neighbor has an issue. Is there anybody here alone? Your neighbor has an issue. That means everybody in here has issues. Amen. We all have issues. Some issues you can see. Some issues you can't see. But we all have issues. So don't be foolish. Don't be a fool and think that you don't have an issue. Or thinking that don't nobody else have an issue.
Amen.
He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, so if I didn't have my issues, I would think I would be better than I am. It's actually an issue that I'm trying to get rid of. It's actually helping to keep me in place. Actually, the issue that I have is actually the issue that's trying to help, that's helping me keep me in place. And so now, as I start to think of myself less than because of my issues, it's my issues that's making me greater. Y'all are going to sink in. Now, some issues are, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, correct? It lets us know that there's some things that are momentary, some things are for a season, and some things are for a lifetime. I need you to know that your issues are the same way. There are some issues that are just for a moment. There are some issues that you go through, it happens, and you say, oh gosh, I got this issue, but through the grace of God, we're able to take care of the issue and move on. Some issues is for a season. Some issues we can talk about are our graduates. Some issues for our graduates is for a season. For those that have already gone through the high school process, amen. We went through their process and we thought that it was never going to end.
Yeah.
And we was like, God, this is my issue. But it is. Because it only lasts for a season. Amen. But then there's some issues that we deal with for life, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be a mental ailment, whatever it is, whether it be something that happened in our childhood that we can never forget, it's just something that it's something that happens for life. Amen. So don't get caught up, but it's the issue that actually is allowing you to be who you are. What happens when I change my perspective on the issue? What happens when I start to say my issue will no longer define me, or I am a child of God? Paul didn't get caught up over his issue. He said, I prayed about it, and after praying about it 3 times, God, he let me know he wasn't going to remove it. So you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and identify with my issue. Yeah, this is me, and this is my issue, but I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
The problem is we become foolish when we get caught up on our issue and allow our issue to hinder us from moving on. But it's really not the issue that's keeping us from doing it. It's our choice. It's our decision. Everybody know T.D. Jakes? Everybody know him, right? Is there anybody here who knows T.D. Jakes? Guess what? T.D. Jakes stutters. T.D. Jakes has a lisp. But he's known to be one of the finest preachers, not just in America, but in the world. But he has an issue. But long as he got caught up on the issue, got to go back and look at some of the old pictures. Long as he was caught up on the issue, but when he said, this is my issue, I'm wearing it. It's right here across my chest. This is my issue. But I'm going to go ahead and do what it is God has called me to. So now, no matter what my issue is, I still can be who God has created me to be. What he may have in his mind that his issue was no longer going to hinder him. He said, I'm tired of being foolish and thinking that my God is able to speak to nothing and have nothing to respond. My God is able to talk and speak healing over my life. My God is able to open up a window and pour out a blessing that I don't have room to receive. And now I don't want to be foolish anymore and thinking that my God can't deal with stuff. Amen. Says verse 8, this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that he may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. We talked about grace not too long ago. And how, if we looked at grace, if you wanted to picture it, you wanted to picture it in your mind. Anybody here ever done any kind of construction work or seen a house being built or seen a building being built? Okay, and so let's try to picture this thing. If I want to understand how important grace is to my walk, if you've seen a house being built or a building being built, grace would be that concrete foundation. Amen. The house itself, the building itself, would be faith. And salvation would rest on the inside. Did somebody catch that picture?
Yes, sir.
So what's on the inside?
Salvation.
What's the building?
Faith.
What's the foundation?
Grace.
And so if I have faith without grace, what's going to happen to my house? And then what will happen to my salvation? But if I have grace as the foundation, that's why he says that he said unto him, my grace is sufficient, because as long as you got grace, as long as you got the foundation of it. Look at what it says here. It says, for my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because even when my house is weak, it is built on a foundation of grace. Strong. Amen. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities and my issues and my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why would the power of Christ rest upon you? Not because of your faith, not because of your salvation, but because of the grace that God has afforded to each and every single one. Don't be a fool in thinking it's all because you believe. Don't be a fool in thinking it's all because, but now that I'm saved, I'm straight. Understand, it's only by God's grace that He has allowed you to be where you are right now. And Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Who here is sinless? But because of God's grace, in spite of our sin, we're still here. Don't be foolish. Don't be a fool. Don't be caught up over where God has taken you, what you've done, the accomplishments that you've made, because it's not about you. God is the one that has allowed it to happen. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what we talked about before. And then it says, don't be foolish and think that it's the issue that you're dealing with. It's the issue that you're going through. It's the issue that you've been dealing with all this time, because the issue doesn't define you. The issue is what's actually helping you to be who you are. Because, check this out, anything plus grace equals power. So take your issue as anything, add grace to it, it equals Christ's power. So if you have Christ's power, then it makes no difference what your issue is. We just had kids that had in a brain test, right? What's the language? What's the language? What's our teacher say? Our teacher. So there's equations that say X plus Y equals. Okay. And so the X means that the X and it can be any variable. Correct. Did I say that right? My child. Yes. X is a variable. Okay. And so your issue is X. But the rest of the equation, because you know you gotta do algebra, you gotta do the equation, right? X is the variable. Plus grace. So we're gonna say X plus G. X plus G equals C. Your issue plus grace equals Christ's power. Now it says here in verse 10, therefore, Paul says, now because of this, Paul says, I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to be foolish to think about it's about my accomplishments. I'm not going to be foolish and think that my issues is what actually defines me. He says, I'm not going to be foolish and think that God's grace is not more than enough to allow me to be who I am. He says in verse 10, that's why we see the word therefore. He says, now based upon what I've just told you, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. There's a lot of folk going through. There's a lot of folk that got stuff going on. It seems like, Pastor, you talk about an issue, but I got issue one, I got issue two, I got issue three. I need that to be X to the fourth, fifth, something. Because I got a whole bunch of issues going on. So I want you to know, I don't care how many X's you got, as long as it's plus grace, I need you to see me. And so because the more infirmities that I have, is the more grace that's allotted to me. And if there's more grace allotted to me, then there's more power coming out of me. Because God wants to use me as His earthly vessel to be able to use me to give Him glory in the process. So Paul said, be careful. Because God, you got somebody coming my way that's going to be going through some situations that are similar. And they're going to need to be encouraged. They're going to need to be talked to. They're going to need somebody that can go ahead and let them know, yeah, I know it hurts right now, baby. But God's got it. Look out that He did it for me. Go ahead and leave that with right. Stop thinking it's about your resume. Stop thinking it's about what it is that you do. Go ahead. That's why we say, let go and let God. Because He said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I ain't get it. We get past that part already. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. I take pleasure in necessities. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in persecutions. That sounds crazy, don't it? I take pleasure in being persecuted. I take pleasure in being stabbed in the back. I take pleasure in being talked about. I take pleasure in all those things that folks do, because at the end of the day, I'm not going through it just because of me. God's allowing me to go through it for a reason, and I understand that. Amen? It says in persecution, in distresses, not just for the sake of going through it, but when I go through those things for Christ's sake. And so now when I have these issues, when all along I've just been trying to do the right thing. I've been trying to do the right thing in Christ. I've been trying to do it the right way. And now when somebody talks about me because I'm trying to do it the right way, the way that God has told me to do it. Well, look, if you're going to talk, then talk. If you're going to, then say whatever you got to say. But at the end of the day, I got to do it the way He wants me to.
Amen.
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 Says, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen. For when I am weak, He is strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. How can I say that I'm strong when I'm weak? Because it's not based upon my strength, it's based upon His. Amen. You turn with me to this same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, the same book. Just want to point out a couple of scriptures to you, amen, and reaffirm what it is we just talked about. Just a couple of scriptures. Chapter 4 talks about us. Amen. Verse number 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. We talked about that. Amen. We talked about it not being about our resume, it not being about what it is we've done. But this earthly vessel, it's not about us, but it's the power of God. It's not enough. Verse 15 says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many may be down to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. Don't think like the world thinks. I'm not saying that our works are not important. They are. It's important that we're able to be a blessing to someone else. It's important that we're able to go out. It's a great accomplishment in graduating and getting degrees and all that. Those are great things. I'm not trying to belittle any of that. But if you hinge it on the fact of those things and don't look further, go beyond the surface of what it is that you see, and understand that it's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace that we are where we are. Don't be foolish in thinking your issue defines you. It defines you to the point that it inhibits you from moving forward and doing what it is God would have you to do. Although Paul had an issue, although he wanted the issue to be removed, although Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane said, if it's even possible for this cup to be removed from me, Lord, take it away. Realizing that he was getting ready to go through something that he didn't want, but he said, it's not about me. I'm willing to do your will. Why? Because the grace is sufficient. Why? Because the grace is more than able to sustain anything that you're going through. x by x plus
grace
equals
CV.
Right to power. God. Don't be foolish. Don't get caught up in everybody else. You want to be caught up, be caught up. Amen. After listening to today's sermon, amen. After listening to the message today, if you can look at an area in your life. Again, I'm trying to defend anybody. You need to fund the Bible. If you can look at an area in your life and say, you know what I've been through. Before we try to speak truth on somebody else, we've got to be truthful with ourselves. And if you look at that scripture right there, I think Paul even said it right there, amen. And he said it right there. I think he said it there in verse 6. It says, though I would desire the glory, I shall not be a fool. Why would I say the truth? If, after listening to today's message, if you can think of an area in your life that you're being a fool over, and today is the day that you say, you know what, I'm tired of dealing with that. I'm not going to be a fool over that anymore. Or if it's better for you to say, you know what, I won't be foolish in my decision making. Anyway, in my decision making, the foolishness that I've allowed to